The bay bristled with masts and filled with sails, some white, some many-coloured. The larger ships stood at anchor, protected by a headland and a breakwater. In the port itself, smaller and absolutely tiny vessels were moored alongside wooden jetties. Almost all of the free space on the beach was occupied by boats, or the remains of boats. A white and red brick lighthouse, originally built by the elves and later renovated, stood tall at the end of the headland, where it was being buffeted by white breakers. The Witcher spurred his mare in her sides. Roach raised her head and flared her nostrils, as though also enjoying the smell of the sea breeze. Urged on, she set off across the dunes, towards the city now nearby. The city of Kerak, the chief metropolis of the kingdom bearing the same name, was divided into three separate, distinct zones, straddling both banks at the mouth of the River Adalat. The port complex, with docks and an industrial and commercial centre, including a shipyard and workshops, as well as food processing plants, warehouses and stores, was located on the left bank of the Adalat. The river's right bank, an area called Palmyra, was occupied by the shacks and cottages of labourers and paupers, the houses and stalls of small traders, abattoirs and shambles, and numerous bars and dens that only livened up after nightfall, since Palmyra was also the district of entertainment and forbidden pleasures. It was also quite easy, as Geralt knew well, to lose one's purse or get a knife in the ribs there. Kerak proper, an area consisting of narrow streets running between the houses of wealthy merchants and financiers, manufactories, banks, pawnbrokers, shoemakers and tailor shops, and large and small stores, was situated further away from the sea, on the left bank, behind a high palisade of robust stakes. Located there were also taverns, coffee houses and inns of superior category, including establishments offering, indeed, much the same as the port quarter of Palmyra, but at considerably higher prices. The centre of the district was a quadrangular town square featuring the town hall, the theatre, the courthouse, the customs office and the houses of the city's elite. A statue of the city's founder, King Osmic, dreadfully spattered in bird droppings, stood on a plinth in the middle of the town square. It was a downright lie, as a seaside town had existed there long before Osmic arrived from the devil knows where. Higher up, on a hill, stood the castle and the royal palace, which were quite unusual in terms of form and shape. It had previously been a temple, which was abandoned by its priests, embittered by the townspeople's total lack of interest, and then modified and extended. The temple's campanile, or bell tower, and its bell had even survived, which the incumbent King Belohan ordered to be tolled every day at noon, and, clearly, just to spite his subjects, at midnight. The bell sounded as the Witcher began to ride between Palmyra's cottages. Palmyra stank of fish, laundry and cheap restaurants, and the crush in the streets was dreadful, which cost the Witcher a great deal of time and patience to negotiate the streets. He breathed a sigh when he finally arrived at the bridge and crossed onto the Adalat's left bank. The water smelled foul and bore scuds of dense foam, waste from the tannery located upstream. From that point, it wasn't far to the road leading to the palisaded city. Geralt left his horse in the stables outside the city centre, paying for 2 days in advance and giving the stableman some backsheesh in order to ensure that Roach was adequately cared for. He headed towards the watchtower. One could only enter Kerak through the watchtower after undergoing a search and the rather unpleasant procedures accompanying it. This necessity somewhat angered the Witcher, but he understood its purpose. The fancier townspeople weren't especially overjoyed at the thought of visits by guests from dockside Palmyra, particularly in the form of mariners from foreign parts putting ashore there. He entered the watchtower, a log building that he knew accommodated the guardhouse. He thought he knew what to expect. He was wrong. He had visited numerous guardhouses in his life, small, medium and large, both nearby and in quite distant parts of the world, some in more and less civilised, and some quite uncivilised regions. All the world's guardhouses stank of mould, sweat, leather and urine, as well as iron and the grease used to preserve it. It was no different in the Kerak guardhouse. Or it wouldn't have been, had the classic guardhouse smell not been drowned out by the heavy, choking, floor-to-ceiling odour of farts. There could be no doubt that leguminous plants, most likely peas and beans, prevailed in the diet of the guardhouse's crew. And the garrison was wholly female. It consisted of 6 women currently sitting at a table and busy with their midday meal. They were all greedily slurping some morsels floating in a thin paprika sauce from earthenware bowls. The tallest guard, clearly the commandant, pushed her bowl away and stood up. Geralt, who always maintained there was no such thing as an ugly woman, suddenly felt compelled to revise his opinion.
"Weapons on the bench,"